the back of your Bible. And we're working through this book, an amazing book. We come to this epic chapter. It's a chapter of faith. What it does is it gives us a grid for how a Christian is to approach life. And it's this word which embodies the fullness of trust in God and in what He's doing. It's called faith. And so the chapter starts off, if you're there, in Hebrews 11. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we've talked about that. Faith is not something that's intangible and something that we convince ourselves to try to hope that there's something good going to happen. Faith is something that is real, substantial, and it is the assurance that we know, not because of blind faith, but we know that there's a reality beyond what we can see, touch, feel, smell, and hear. See, when we become a Christian, when we give our life to the Lord, God gives us this different operating system. It's called faith. It's like an organ. Our five senses are able to detect the material world. We relate to the material world through our five senses. And then God helps us relate to the spiritual world, the eternal world, the things not seen, through this organ called faith. So faith could be comparable to our eyes, ears, nose, whatever, touch. It could be compared to that, but it's how we relate to the spiritual things. And so when we become Christians, God gives us this internal operating system. Now the key is, this is how we live. This is how we operate. We operate on this blueprint. So now he's trying to explain to those who receive this letter, these Christians who are struggling with living by faith and mixing it with what they were familiar with. You know how that is? You maybe become a Christian and then you still live by what you see and feel and think. And God's like, he has this whole other blueprint. And this blueprint is faith. And he says things may completely be different than what you see, than what you think. Things may, and your faith is detecting that God is doing something, but your natural person is rebelling against that and saying, it's not practical, it's weird, it doesn't seem right, I don't know how this works. And your faith is going, step forward, my child. And it's going against what is normal, comfortable, and natural for you. So this is how faith works. And so, as David put in Psalm 27, he said, well, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Identifying the fact that there's a way to approach life where it's completely based on the natural person, what we see, everything being practical. And God says, I'm working in a whole new way. And so that's what this is about. That's what this chapter is about. He's encouraging us to step forward and walk by faith. And he's saying, I know it's scary. He spent the first 10 chapters speaking about the character of Jesus, about the greatness of who he is. And so what faith ultimately comes down to, I'll give you the conclusion before we get into it. Faith ultimately comes down to, we are trusting not in a what, why, or how. We are trusting in a who. And see why it's not blind faith? All of history screams about the working of God in and through mankind. God's given us every possible, tangible thing that makes it not a blind faith, but a faith that says he has worked in and through human history from its very beginning, and he's done everything that he set out to do, that he said before he's going to do it, then he did it, and he said, now look, I did it then, and I'll continue to do it as history unfolds. He says, walk in the evidence that God is real and that God is working and that God is as individual in what he thinks about us and personal in how he works out that plan. So then he gives us these examples. Remember, it's not this weird thing where somebody found some random gold plates in some place and they say, now follow me. And if anybody approaches you and wants you to believe what they believe, say, why should I believe that? God doesn't ask us to believe random things just because someone said. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's substantial. It's proof. God has done that. So he gives us examples. He starts off with Abel. Cain and Abel, the two brothers who came as a response to the Lord and gave an offering. Abel offered what God asked. He did it by faith. Cain kind of made up his own thing and said, well, I think this would be cool to offer to God. And God said, that's not what I asked. And so Abel, then a picture of faith is simply that we give to God. We offer to God, ultimately ourselves, giving ourselves to God because that's what he asked, based on his offering of himself to us at the cross. And so faith then first is that we offer ourselves to God. If we're not offering ourselves to God in faith, then what are we doing? We're not walking by faith. The second example, then, we had a really interesting character called Enoch. Enoch was basically God. He walked with God, and then he was not. That's all it says, really. Enoch gives us a picture, then, as we offer our lives to God. Enoch was a guy who walked or lived his life based on what God said, contrary to, is very evil in those days, right before Noah in the ark. And he lived his life against what everybody thought, said, and felt. And he said, I'm going to live for God. And he walked with God like that, by faith, trusting in God. And then he disappeared. Our next guy was Noah. A lot of us are familiar with Noah. Hopefully not just because we saw Russell Crowe in the movie. We are familiar with the Noah of the Bible, which is very different. And so Noah, then, is our third example of faith. And so all these examples should help us see, understand, and feel what faith is like. Because don't you sometimes say, okay, walk by faith. What does that look like? What does that mean? Is it just a theory or a concept? How does that practically take place in my life? So we get this example of Noah. And so Noah was told to build an ark. There's never been rain. He wasn't close to a body of water. And yet, day after day, for 120 years, he would build this ark in obedience. He just did what God said. It wasn't practical. It was maybe weird. People were confused. And he'd say, well, God told me to do this. Told you to do what? It's never rained. What do you mean there's going to be a flood on the whole earth? It's never done that before. Well, God told me. See, this is how faith works. And so we know the rest of the story. That brings us to our character that we started with, not last time, but the time before, Abraham. So Abraham's story. Abraham is known as the father of faith, right? So he's a picture then of faith for us. And what he did was he just left his home. He was very settled and comfortable in a place. And God said, go to a foreign land. He just said, go to this new place, and there I will make you the father of many nations. And so he did. And he wasn't perfectly obedient. He had to grow in his faith, grow in his obedience. But eventually he got there, and he's in the promised land. He's in the land of Canaan. All around him were people who weren't like him. And he lived there, he dwelt there as a foreigner, somebody who didn't feel comfortable there. And the whole reason he did that, he did it by faith. And he too went through these questions like we do. Well, I don't understand. It doesn't seem like it's working out completely. And this seems weird, and I don't know where this is all headed. But that brings us to what we're going to look at today. Notice in verse 8. So it says, by faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going. And that is a great picture of faith. Faith is just us stepping forward in what we know God has asked us to do, even though we don't know where it's going to end up. That's hard to do, isn't it? And so we take the step of faith. And we trust God. And we know, here's the key, we know it's going to work out. Why? Because of the character of God. That's why. That we know God well enough that if he asks us to step out of faith, we know then we are his responsibility and we can trust in who he is. We have the whole Bible to back that up. It's worked out okay, right? It's worked out okay. And has God finished working it out? No. But he went out. And as he goes out, in verse 9 it says, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So there's the overall motive of why he was able to do what he did. Because he wasn't living for the temporary, but he was living for the eternal. Do you see the motive built in there? Do you see how important it is we get a hold of that concept before we look at Sarah's wife? What's important is that we don't hinge our life and our joy and our happiness and our fulfillment by the temporary material things of this world, which change constantly and in reality can never fulfill and satisfy the human heart. Did you know that? The Bible says the flesh is never satisfied. Did you know that? That's obvious, isn't it? Some of you hungry this morning? You get hungry, and it's good, really good, really, really good. And then you get hungry again, and then it's good, and then you get hungry again. That's been our whole life, right? Our flesh is never satisfied. That's why Jesus said to come to him, and when we come to him, that he will truly satisfy us. But somehow Abraham knew that. Somehow Abraham wasn't looking into this world which could never satisfy, but he saw a bigger picture, a bigger city, a bigger promise, a greater God. And so because he wasn't so connected by the umbilical cord to the world, feeding off its every whim, and he was connected to something greater, he had no problem. Well, he had a little problem, but not much problem, because he was living for something much better. So watch what happens. So now this gets to our text. We're going to go through this morning the next two verses. So it says, now by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Remember the promise to Abraham? That he would be the father of many nations. Well, you got to have a kid for that to happen, right? It'd be kind of embarrassing. You're the father of many nations and you don't have a child. That was the situation. And he was past the age where men have children. Sarah, his wife, was past the age that women had children. And so, Lord, it's embarrassing. You asked me to leave. You said you have a country. You say through me that all the world would be blessed through my offspring. And here I am, an old man, and I have nothing to show for it. Do you ever feel like that? Lord, I follow you and look at my life. I thought when I signed up for this that maybe I would be rich and have the best job and be the CEO, and I've seen other people move ahead of me. What's going on, God? How was the attitude? So Sarah herself, she received strength to actually conceive. It says that she bore a child when she is past age. Why? Because she judged him. You might want to circle that. Circle him. She judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, verse 12, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. See, it's easy to read that, isn't it? We know what happened. But Abraham and Sarah, they were real people going through real life, struggling with real things, confused, not knowing what to do, just like you and I. Turn to the book of Genesis, very first book in your Bible. Now, as you're turning there, what I'd want to bring out here in the life of Abraham and Sarah is how living by faith brings the result of hope. Hope is the target that faith ends up at. The person who lives by faith, they live with hope. Some of you here today, you as Christians, maybe, I know I do, often take for granted things that before I was a Christian, I never had. We take for granted these things about hope. See, if you're a Christian here today, you're sitting here, ultimately, no matter what you're struggling with, you know it's going to be okay. Ultimately, you know things are going to work out okay. The hard part is getting there, right? The hard part is our heart being okay with getting there. And that's the walk of faith part. But ultimately, you're not struggling with the fact of what happens when I die. If you're a Christian here, you take that for granted. I know I do. I don't worry about that. And not only do I not worry about that, I live in this expectation that I know I'm going to stand before God for eternity, enjoying His presence, feeding on His glory and His goodness. I know that's going to happen. I never pay attention. I never have another thought like, I don't know, I might make it. I'm trying to make it. That's already done for me. I wake up every morning knowing, as Jim Hill, if I may quote him, one step closer to eternity. How you doing, Jim? One step closer to eternity. And Jim's been through a lot over the last year or 2 years. And Jim lives with this understanding that this life, for all of us, is headed towards a finish line. And for the Christian, we live in a whole different way, or we should. Why? Because we have hope. What do we have hope in? The stabilization of the Middle East? Do we have hope in that? Do you have hope in the stabilization of our government, that laws will be all like you want them, and everything politically will go your way, and all the nations of the world will line up the way you want? Do you have faith in your bank account or your job? Is that always going to be perfect and good? We have hope in Him. That's why the Christian should be the eternal optimist. Because our hope is in a person, an unchanging person, whose very nature is to bestow good to His children. And He has a way that He's all lined out. He's told us all about it in His Word. And He's working by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of the Christian to give power to be the person that God wants us to be. wake up every morning like that. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Nothing to worry about, nothing to care about. And the first thing and the first reason why, if you're taking notes, we looked at this last week or 2 weeks ago, it's because our hope, we live by faith, our hope is in God's plan. God's plan. Not our plan. Our hope is in God's plan. So I wake up every morning saying this. Not all the time, but I know this instinctually. Hey, all things work together for good. I know that. I wake up every morning knowing that God has a plan for me, plan for good and not for evil, and plan for a future and a hope. I wake up every morning, Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared beforehand that we should what? We should walk in them. How hard is that? God said, I'd lined up all these good works, now go walk in them. How hard is that? What's hard is when we don't walk by faith and we say, I think I have a better idea. I think I know a little bit more, God. We don't maybe not say that, but that's how we act. And so the blueprint of faith that we live by, it's just so simple. And the older I get, I like more simple things because I can't remember things as well. And God makes it so simple. He just says, just walk by faith. Just trust me. And walk in obedience. And that's it. And when I do, it's amazing. And this is what we're looking at. I've learned, I've grown in this. This is something that I had to grow in. It wasn't automatic, but God has shown me His faithfulness. He's shown me His way is perfect, way better than mine. His plan is way better than anything I could have planned. And He said, hey, just walk in that. That's it. Well, I don't know what to do, God. Well, don't do anything then. I'll work it out. Do what you know. Okay, I can do that. I can pray. I can love people. I can pray for people. I can read my word. I can go and be a blessing to be. I can do all that stuff. I know that. He says, well, do that then. Okay. And then you do that. And then other stuff happens. And then God, all these things that we walk in, it's like, wow, God, you blow me away. How'd you do that? Well, Sarah was like that. Abraham was like that. They didn't know how everything was going to work. But not only were they trusting in God's plan, now they had faith in God's word. Do we struggle with that sometimes? We do. We have a whole Bible of God's word. This is the word of God. And He has and will work out everything according to plan. And that's just not in the big world plan. That's in the specific plan that He has for you, your life and my life. So He's in the process. And here's the thing. We have to be okay with the process. See, that's what we don't like. That's what I don't like. I just want to get there. You know what I mean? We don't like the in-between part. We just want to be there. We just want to be in the promise, that we just want to have the promises. And God, oftentimes He works those things out. I told you I just got back from California. And we drove straight through. We drove straight through there, straight through back. And it was 24 hours. And you're driving and you just want to get there so bad. It just doesn't come. And it just seems further and further. And you're trusting that Siri on your phone is leading you in the right direction. Imagine how much trust we put in Siri. And we have a hard time trusting in the Lord. Has Siri ever given you the wrong directions? Have you ever been late for an appointment? Because I have. I'm like, you're not so smart, Siri. And my dad always laughs at me because I'm so connected to the maps in my phone, and he always gets to places before me. He said, well, why don't you just read a map and, you know, follow, what's so hard about that? And even, here's the weird thing, So we're in California. I'm driving around. I know that place by the back of my hand, but I still have Siri on. And I'm like, why am I doing that? It's because then I don't have to think. Jesus tells me where to go and what to do. And I'm thinking, this is really weird. I already know what to do and where to go, but I need this little device to tell me, which sometimes leads me the wrong way, but I'm putting this trust in this device. So weird. And God says, now that's how I'm working things out. But here's the thing. He says you have to be okay with it not being exactly like you think. It's almost like we have to let go of the frame of reference that we built in our mind of the way we think everything's going to look. Isn't that hard to do? See, that's what's hard, isn't it? Because we built these things up. And you know what's really, really weird in my life? And we naturally do that, don't we? We imagine, so for example, going out to California, the week before, you're thinking what it's going to be like, right? You're imagining. You're thinking, okay, we're going to be on the beach, we're going to be surfing, we're going to be body surfing, we're going to do that kind of stuff. And then how often in life do things actually end up like the picture that you've created? Maybe zero? But we have this whole thing, right? And God says just to let go of that. Live in the moment and take every step. Just walk by faith and be thankful. Embrace it. And know that God is doing something much greater. He's doing. Here's why things, the way they look in our mind, are different than the way He works them out. Here's why. The Bible tells us that God is doing exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. He's doing way more than that. I remember, I think it was about a year ago, I was sitting here with Tom Biddle. And he's like, I just got laid off from my job. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. How long have you been working there? At Parkland? 19 years. I don't know what I'm going to do. We need to pray. And he had all these ideas, right, after he got through the initial shock. And he texts me while I'm in California. He says, well, it looks like I'm going to Alaska. And he's excited about it. And I guarantee you that wasn't on the grid of what you thought you were going to do. Was that on the grid? That was nowhere near any of our conversations. And he's going to Alaska now. And he's excited about it. He's sitting over there telling me about the salmon and the beauty and all that. And I guarantee you, God's worked that plan out. God's known already. He had no idea. He just needed to get there. But as we sort of work through this, I just want you to see two things in Genesis 15. And then we'll wrap it up. Genesis 15. So watch this. This is what Abraham has. It says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And it said in verse 1, don't be afraid, Abraham. Notice this. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Do you see that? You might want to circle that. See, that right there was everything Abraham needed to know to move forward. Right? Everything he needed to know. He had all the equipment in that one statement. God is saying, I myself, he's saying, I am what you're going to need to look to. I am going to be your protector. I'm going to be your guide. I am going to be your reward. So now that's faith's blueprint, that now we're walking in a way where we're not looking for things in this world to be our reward, although God does bless us that way. He also blesses us with things we don't like and things that are hard and things, difficulties, trials, and what we go through. But here's what we need to know. He says, I myself, I'm your reward. I'm your shield. I will protect you. I will walk with you. But make sure I am at the center of what you are looking to and what you're looking for. No matter where you are, where you go, I am going to be and need to be the core of your being. And when I am the core of your being, everything else is just gravy train. because we already have our reward in Christ and fellowship and relating to Him. That's our reward. He's rewarding us with His presence and His goodness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And He says, just enjoy me. Follow me. Go out and do stuff that I lead you to do and embrace me. And if we will get that this morning, I would say in my Christian journey, that statement right there may be one of the most important things that I have learned and I wish I knew a lot earlier. But if I did, and God obviously has told me, it took me a long time to believe that. And so, as God says that, notice in verse 6, it says, and he believed God. Is that what is required of us? That's it. That's it. Makes life really simple. And he accounted it to him as righteousness. God sees our belief. One, our belief in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, as what brings about our righteousness before God. Our righteousness is Christ's righteousness. How do we access that? We do it by faith. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. We are saved. Our sins are forgiven. Our eternity in heaven is secured by a simple act of faith. That's it. Isn't that amazing? And so we see his whole teaching in the Bible, and even now so many people struggle with that. Well, don't I need to do this? And if I do that, no. God did that. You believe in it, and you will be free. You will be saved. Your sins will never be accounted against you. How? By faith. That's it. That's why the gospel message is so amazing. Because Christ did it all. This statement runs throughout the whole Bible. He believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. How are we righteous before an almighty, holy God? By faith. Because now we stand in Christ. And in Christ, the perfect, sinless Christ, now God sees us. God the Father sees us that way. Now watch this. We're going to fast forward. Sarah had some lapses of faith, but look in Genesis 21 and we'll end with that. Genesis 21, verse 1. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, and the Lord did for Sarah, what does that say? As he had spoken, past tense. God is saying that to us today. The Lord will do for you as he has spoken. Past tense. So you may say, wow, he hasn't done that. Two things. First is, do you want what God wants? See, a lot of our friction comes because we are out of line with God. To come to God is to say, Lord, your will be done in my life. And to be a Christian is to love God's will. To love the way God works. We learn that God's way is so much better than our way. And so first is to align ourselves with God's Word. God has said, if you and I will come to God's Word and say, God, alter me according to your Word. Alter me. We don't say, God's Word, alter yourself to what I want to do. Do we make that mistake sometimes? We say, Lord, I'm going for it, and I don't know if you're in it, but bless it anyway. And God says, hold on, buckaroo. I'm trying to alter you. I'm trying to change you. So that's how we learn, we grow in faith that way, don't we? And so we come to God's Word and we just stand on it. And we say, Lord, whatever you need to do, if you need to thrash me, if you need to change me, transform me, help my will be like your will. And then it says in verse 2, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. Notice this, at the set time. You see that? At the set time. You may be sitting here. You have all these things in your heart. You're restless. You're confused. And God says, at the set time. And I think, as I alluded to earlier, I think the hardest part in walking by faith is just to rest, to wait, and to be okay just with God at the moment. And let His plan unfold. In James chapter 1, it says, let patience have its perfect work. Because here's what happens. Here's what's really cool. In our waiting, God is also preparing. And you know what He's doing when He's preparing us? He's increasing our capacity to enjoy what He's going to do. See, if He would just do it right away, we wouldn't be ready for it. We wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't enjoy it fully. And God says, I'm going to prepare you for the maximum benefit of enjoyment of this blessing I'm going to do in your life. And so He says, just enjoy me. Enjoy the ride, because there will be seasons of fruit, but the seasons of fruit aren't the whole season. Sometimes the seasons are the planting, the growing, the watering. It's the waiting. Be okay with that. How do I be okay with that? One, because of who God is, enjoying Him. He's our reward. Two, knowing that everything is headed towards something. Three, not being people who live for results, but being people who live for God's presence. And then here's what happens. In verse 3, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. You know what that means? Laughter. Rejoicing. The goodness of the Lord. I want to just point out some quick applications about how walking by faith gives us this hope that calms our heart and encourages us each and every day in the goodness of the Lord. And here they are. Number one, walking by faith that gives us this hope, it frees us, number one, to have joy. You know, life can be a joy sucker, right? When we look around at the things that we don't like, the things that can just rob our joy, how about if we just let God figure all that stuff out? And how about we just enjoy God? And we say, God, it's your problem. I say that a lot. It's your problem, God. Because doesn't He say to cast our cares upon Him? Does He say that? Why? Because He cares for us. It's not noble to carry around burdens. It's not noble to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. It's noble to give that to God and then enjoy God. So the first thing is, when we walk by faith, we have this hope that frees us to have joy. The second thing is, it allows us to experience the supernatural. Did you know that God is full of surprises? When you and I walk by faith, and when we know God is working out a good plan, a perfect plan, and sometimes we don't understand and we don't know how it's all going to work, but we just say, all right, Lord, what are you going to do? And I have come to expect these surprises constantly. My life is so weird. If I was to explain to you the things that happened to me and how God works in my life and how it's so unpredictable and unexpected, you would not believe much of the things I would say. And God loves to surprise us. Do we like to do that to our loved ones? Family, just surprise them with, you know, look on their face, right? Unless you're one of those scare surprise persons. Ah! But to see somebody's face when they're surprised and they're just so happy and something has happened, that's the greatest thing. I believe God's like that. God loves to surprise us. And so He works on our capacity to enjoy these surprises. The third thing is walking by faith that removes fear and dependency on outcomes. We talked about that before. Walking by faith, then, is not a life where we are fixed upon every movement of things, good and bad. Because in life, there will be a lot of movement, right? Our lives are like the stock market. Some of us look at our lives like that. Oh, things are good. I'm up today, so I'm going to be happy. Down today, bad day. Is there a bad day in the Lord? There's challenging days. There's days where, boy, it's really hard to have faith. But in the Lord, we are relieved from the pressure of results. The fourth thing, it makes life an adventure. To live by faith makes life an adventure. I feel like my whole life is this crazy adventure of God doing crazy things in my life. One is standing right here. The fifth thing, living by faith allows our faith to grow. And faith is so precious to God, so important that He puts us in positions where we have to trust in Him. And I've learned to love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. So exciting to live that way. The last thing, I believe this is why God has certain things in our life that are challenging. It keeps us centered and focused upon delighting in God alone, for He is our ultimate hope. And so this is why Abraham, this is why Sarah, this is why they had so much hope, even though they at times struggled like we do. Ultimately, they found their hope in God Himself. Let's pray and then we'll pass out the communion. Lord Jesus, thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the measure of faith that each one of us has this morning. And You do give us, You give us each the faith that we need to live the life that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, we have that confidence. And Lord, we have this great hope this morning. No matter what anybody here is struggling with or going through, and a lot of us go through some really, really hard things, Lord. It almost seems unhuman at times. In reality, it is the human experience in a fallen world with fallen people. There's so much brokenness, Lord. And that's why I'm so thankful that You came to restore us. Lord, I want to pray for anybody here this morning. First and foremost, anybody here who has never received the forgiveness of their sins, anybody here who, if they were to die today, they wouldn't be sure if they would spend eternity in heaven. I want to pray for anybody here who would just say, I want to be forgiven. I want to know You, God. I want to know that when I die, I'll spend eternity in heaven. I want to pray for anybody here who even now, just senses a movement of the Holy Spirit on their heart. Anybody would just give a little room for that. Maybe somebody's here has been just really resisting, really fighting. And God is just continually, as a gentleman, lovingly coming to you and saying, I'm your answer. If you'd like to do that this morning, you can do that. You can be saved. Your sins can be forgiven right this second. Right this second. Imagine that. By simply acknowledging and knowing that you're a sinner. We all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. But that God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And whoever would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they would be saved. What that means is right now, right here, right in your seat, you can have all your sins forgiven. I'm going to lead you in a little prayer. We're not going to ask you to come up or raise your hand. This is between you and God. There's nothing wrong with having people come up. But right now, we're just going to ask you. If you want to do that, just say a prayer like this. The prayer won't save you. It's a vehicle for you just to acknowledge to God that you want to be saved and that you want to receive His forgiveness. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose again from the dead. And right now, I'm putting my faith in You. I'm turning from my belief in myself or the world or anything, and I'm turning to You now. And I'm asking for forgiveness. Lord, help me now as a new Christian to live my life for You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And thank You. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says that God in no way will cast out those who come to Him. For the rest of us this morning, we're going to have the ushers pass out communion. They can come forward.